Okay, so now it is still 9:29 and the recorders are on as well. I want to go back and look quickly at groups and then we're going to move on to the next thing. But we kind of left that quickly. So I'm going to scroll down a ways. I'm going to start there, I guess, and then go on. So the where, as we talked about before, is eliminating as the groups are being formed. So I'm saying eliminate John Adams. So here I have state contact and the sum of your goal from DOMA, group by state and contact. And obviously, if I want the sum of your goal to be for each contact, then I've got to group by contact. So I'm grouping by state and contact. Then I came down and said, okay, I want to do the same thing, but this time I don't want to do it for John Adams. I want to eliminate that particular contact. So I do that, and John Adams no longer shows up. So I'm doing that as the groups are being formed. Now, my other way of doing that could have been to come down because I formed the group, and after I formed the groups, get rid of it by having. The having clause would get rid of it after I formed the group. So I could have chosen to do that as well. So I've got, while the groups are being formed, I'm eliminating, and I can eliminate groups. Since it's contact, I could eliminate it after the groups have been formed. But if my where clause was looking for a different field that was looking for, I don't want any year goals that are less than 100 or something, then I have to do it with the where. I'm eliminating a variety of things. Whatever. The where is eliminating as the groups are being formed. And the having eliminates after the groups have been formed. So down here, I said, okay, I want where some year goal is greater than 100, and I put that in, and it gave me an error, because it doesn't have some year goal until after I finish the grouping. So it can't. The where clause is acting on individual records, so some year goal is not an individual record. Okay, so the where clause is acting on individual records, and it's eliminating them as it's being formed. So this gave me an error. When I took that where and made it a having, it worked just fine, because the having works on groups. Okay, but when I tried to do that with a where clause, the sum of your goal is got to be after I have handled all of the records and formed the groups. Okay. And I don't think I took a picture of that one, so I'm going to go back and take a picture. And then this one, I eliminated the contact of John Adams as the group was being formed. Then I put in the having to act on eliminating certain groups. And then I said, all right, now that I've done that, I want to have an autobuy, and I've got the autobuy in there as well. Okay. And all of these can be compound if you want to. And then this one is just working with the minimum of the average year goal. So I'm going to have average year goal by contact, and I want to show the minimum one that comes up. Questions about grouping? There are times, as I said, when you can eliminate the records, and one of the things you're grouping on is contact. You can eliminate the records, or you can wait until the groups have been formed to get rid of them. So when it's on, when you're dealing with one of the grouping fields, then you have an option as to where you want to do it. But try it. I mean, experiment with trying to do it with the where clause and then trying to do it with the having and see how it works. But if you get an error with the where clause, probably it's because you should be using the having. Okay. Okay. The next thing we're going to start with is looking at multiple tables. And before we do that, I want to go back and look at the normal form and all of that, which some of you have probably already had, because I talked about it briefly in a couple of other courses. At some point, if you're going to go into programming, at some point you should take a course in designing databases. Not just the using databases, which is what this course is about, but in the designing of databases. Because it's reasonably complex. If you are working for a company and they need to design a database, first of all, it's going to be done by a group of people, technicians and people that actually are going to use the database, are both going to be involved in creating it. Getting the database right, getting the design right, is absolutely critical. You know, I've worked for a bunch of places, and my husband's worked for a bunch of places where they did just horrible designs, and then you can't get the data you want. One of the problems is repeating information on a variety of tables. If you start repeating, for example, the customer name or something like that, and you have it on a variety of tables, if the customer changes their name, you've got to change it on this variety of tables as opposed to on one table. And so the design is really important. This first one that I've got up here is just an article that I think kind of talks about it fairly well, so I have that there for you to look at. What we're going to do is go over the second one down, which is basically the normal form. Okay. Now we're getting into other ways of doing things, big data and that sort of thing, which is not a relational database. But the vast majority of databases out there, if you're not a humongous company, relational databases, and probably will be for a good long time. So the first thing is a relation is in first normal form if it does not contain repeating groups. Okay? And again, some of you have heard this before. Sorry about that. But it's good repeat anyway, probably. You can't have repeating groups. So if I have a student record and I want to keep all of the courses that you're taking on my student record, okay, I can't do it because I don't know how many courses you're going to take and how many to set up. So if I set it up and I say, okay, I'm going to allow 30 courses, so I'm going to have slots for 30 courses. And I'll have the course number and the date you took it and the grade. And I'll do it for 30 courses. The next day, somebody tries to sign up for the 31st course, and you can't do it. So what you want to do is you want to have the student table with information about the student, and then you want to have the student course table that will contain one record for every course the student has taken. and then there's no max on it. Okay? And I tell this story, and I'm sorry if you've heard it before, but I tried to place an order over the phone, and I had 7 things I wanted to order. And when I got to the 5th thing, the person thanked me for my order, and I said, no, I have 2 more to go, and she said, I can't take them. And so I said, but I want them, and we had a little discussion. And eventually she said, all right. And then she asked me for my name and my address and all the rest of the things, because she had to start another order for me and put my name and address on there, and then she could put on the 2 things. And if I'd wanted 12 things, clearly she was going to have to put in a 3rd order. Okay, so somebody had decided that 5 was the most anybody was ever going to want to order, and they had repeating groups going on. Okay. So, a relationship is in second normal form, and if it's in first normal form, and no non-key attribute is dependent on only a portion of the primary key. Okay, so we're going to look at examples of this, but basically, a primary key can be made up of multiple fields. Okay? So you can have a record that needs multiple parts to make the primary key, and we're going to look at examples. And what that is saying is that you can't carry data on that table that is reliant only on part of the primary key. It has to be reliant on the whole primary key. And as I said, we'll look at examples. And a relationship is in third normal form if it is in second normal form, and the only determinants it contains are candidate keys. And that means that, for example, if I have a department number on the table, okay, as a piece of data, not as part of the key, but I have department number as a piece of data, okay, then I can't put department name on that table, because department name is determined by department number, not by the key. So I can't put department name on that table. What I want to do is set up another department table that links together via department number and has the department name and all that good stuff on it. Okay. So if you follow those 3 rules, you have a fairly good chance of coming up with something that is reasonably well designed. Those are kind of the base rules that you are supposed to follow. Okay, and then I have 2 PowerPoints that I want to look at. Okay.
Download it and move our own top.
Why didn't it just come up with the double click?
Oh, because I think it asked you if you wanted to download it.
Did I? Okay,
yeah,
let's see. Open with... There it is. But thank you. And eventually it may actually do that. Has it opened for anybody?
So when I go back to work, I print this all up.
You print it all up?
Work, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's free there.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that's one of the perks of my job. I can actually print for free. They don't deduct from my salary when I print. Ah, come on. It does open, because apparently he got it to open. And I got it to open last night. Ta-da! Okay, so apparently it decided to open twice for me.
Yeah.
Okay. So, some of the vocabulary, I guess, basically, is there. And what we were talking about is a primary key allows you to get one and only one record from a table. Okay? And all of the other attributes in the table are functionally dependent on the primary key. So everything, you'll have a primary key that can access one and only one record, which is why you need to have sometimes a two-part primary key. Because if you are putting in, as we talked about, a student and the course number that they took and making one record for every course number, then you can't have the student number as the key, as the primary key, because there's going to be multiple records for that student. And you can't have the course number as the primary key because there's going to be multiple students taking that. The combination make it unique. Or actually, they don't quite make it unique because then you couldn't take the course twice. So you need to have also the semester that the course was being taken so that you can take a course twice. Okay, so all the other attributes in the table are dependent on the primary key. So you have everything there that is dependent on the primary key. And a foreign key is an element or attribute on one table that links to the primary key on another table. Okay, and that's important. A foreign key links to the primary key on another table, thereby establishing a relationship between the two tables. And we're going to see that in Oracle, that they will have a foreign key doing that. A candidate key is a key that could have been used as the primary key. And the prime example of that is Social Security number. Okay, years ago, the college used Social Security number as your student ID. Patently illegal, but they did it. And everybody did it. You know, I mean, when I think about how we treated Social Security numbers, when I wrote them on the top of my check when I was cashing a check, you know, I mean, anyway, we were far too free with our Social Security numbers. And so that is here, if we keep your Social Security number on the record, that is a candidate primary key. Okay, so it's a candidate key. It could have been used as a primary, but it's not. So that makes it a candidate key. Okay. An entity relationship is how two things are associated. And it refers to, and we'll look at that in a minute, a one-to-one, a one-to-many, or a many-to-many relationship, and we're going to look at that. And here are the rules that we just went over for first normal form, second normal form, and third normal form. So they're there as well. So the database that I use for examples a lot is a donor database. And these are really very faint, but if you're bringing it up on your screen, you ought to be able to read it. That's why I would open these things on your screen. So that's the data that I decided I needed. Okay, so this is my list of data. I've got information about the person, I've got information about the donations they made, I've got information about the drive they made the donation to, and this is the information that I want to keep. Okay, so I've got to go back and keep that information. So I come down to the next slide, and it says, okay, to put the relationship into first normal form, I have to remove repeating groups. And my hope is that people are going to make multiple contributions, so the contributions are repeating groups. Okay? My hope is I'm going to get more than one contribution. Since a person can give many donations, the donations are a repeating group. So I now know I'm going to need at least two tables. One containing the donor information and one containing the donation information. The nature of the data indicates a one-to-many relationship between the donor and the donation, because I'm assuming or hoping that I'm going to have a one-to-many relationship. Some records may only have a one-to-one, because I may only get one donation from them. Okay? So one donor can make one or more donations, but a given donation is only one donor. Okay, so that's a one-to-many relationship. So I'm going to pull out, and I'm going to make one table that contains all of this information up here. The ID number, name, street address, city, state, zip, date first donated, yearly goal for the donator, and the contact person for the donor. And those are all going to be related to the primary key. And the primary key is going to be the ID number. Okay, so these are all related to the ID number, and the ID number is the primary key. So, I've now got it set up. Okay. So I've set up the table, and now I've got the donation information. So the donation information is going to include the ID number. Okay, I've got to carry the ID number over there. So basically, you should think twice about any duplication that's not used to relate the tables, is not part of the key or is used to relate the tables. So I'm going to have the donation information. The ID number must be carried with the donor information to identify the donor, and it must be carried with the donation information to identify who gave each donation. Okay? And it provides a link between them so that when I'm doing my SQL, when I do my select, I can say select where donor ID equals 123 and donation ID equals 123 if I want to link the two together. Okay. Okay, so now I've got the donation information, and I am going to end up with a smaller table because I'm going to eliminate some of these. First, I need to determine the key on the table. The identification number of the donor alone doesn't provide a key because a donor can give multiple donations. Okay, the identification number along with the drive defines the key only if each donor can only give to a drive one time. If we're going to allow each donor to give to the same drive multiple times, we need a third, which would be the date. Now, we could have decided to just have the ID number and the date. I put in the drive because I wanted to have that as part of the identifying thing because I felt the drive was important enough. So I put it in, but I could have just done the ID number and the date, okay? Now, when you do the date, if you make the assumption that nobody's gonna give twice in the same day, you're fine. If not, then you wanna include date and time. And you're safe if you give date and time, okay? Because one person can't make the same donation at exactly the same time twice. You know, they got to type it in, and that gives you a few seconds. So I made the key, the ID number, the drive number, and the date. Because, again, the drive is important, and the drive is going to link to the drive down here. So I decided to make it part of the key. But, again, I could have just done the ID number and the date. The other reason I did it is, very frankly, I wanted a multi-part key. So that gave me a multi-part key. So the primary key for the donation table is those three things. And the only thing that relates to all parts of that is the amount of the contribution. So the amount of the contribution relates to the ID number, relates to the person who gave it, it relates to the drive they gave it to, and it relates to the date. So it relates to all three parts. So my donation information is going to contain the three things that make the key plus the amount of each contribution. Okay? The other things I'm going to pull out. So on further analysis, it's clear that the donation information is not in second normal form because there are parts of the data that are dependent on only a part of the key. And that is the drive name is dependent on only the drive number. And even if the drive number hadn't been part of the key and had been a piece of data that I had, the drive name couldn't be dependent on that. So I am pulling out the drive information, okay? The amount of each contribution can stay on the donor information table because it's dependent on all three parts of the primary key. Okay. So now I have broken this up and I have the donation information and I have the drive information. And the drive information is having the drive number as the primary key, and the things that relate to it are the drive name, the chairperson of the drive, how much money the drive made last year, and how much the drive money has made so far this year. Okay? So those are all dependent on the drive number. So those are fields that can go on the drive table. So I've now broken this up and I've got three tables. I've got the donor table that has the ID number and that can link over to the donation table. The donation table has the drive number so it can link down to the drive. I don't have any link between donor and drive, but that's fine. I don't need a link between donor and drive. If I want to find out what drives they gave to, I really need to go to the donation table that has the drive that they gave it to and use the drive number. Okay. Questions? So I now have three tables. Yeah.
Quick question. The amount of each contribution, that would be a good primary key because that's the same, right?
Right. That can't be the primary key because you give $100, I give $100. They say, no, you can't give $100. Somebody's already given $100. And,
You have three primary keys here?
No, I have three parts of a primary key. There's one primary key, and when we get into it in Oracle, you'll see that you set it up as three. You can set it up as having multiple parts. There's one primary key, but the primary key has multiple parts. Okay. In this case, the primary key only has one part for drive number. Up here, the primary key has multiple parts. And when you define it again, when you define it in Oracle, you're going to define the primary key as being made up of these three fields. Yeah.
And from three different tables, right? The drive information, donor information.
Yes, I've got three different tables, but each table has its own primary key.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so the ID number is the primary key for the donor table. The donation table is a three-part primary key. And the drive table just has the drive number as the primary key. Okay. And again, a primary key has value because it uniquely identifies. Remember the thing that I had you do in class the other day and there was duplicates in there? Okay. If I had had a primary key defined, it would never have let me put in those duplicates. Okay, because when I tried to put in something with the same key, it would have come back at me and said, no, you can't have that because it's already been used. I had not defined keys on that table, and somehow I had managed to mush them together, two versions or whatever, and I ended up with duplicates. Okay, and again, that wouldn't have happened if I had defined a primary key. Okay, because I can only have one record with each ID, which lets me access any record on my table. Okay? And, you know, when you go to a doctor's office, if you don't know your patient number, they ask for name. And if they ask for name, I'm lucky with my name, I don't get duplicates. But some people will get duplicates when it comes up with name, and they'll ask you then when they get this list of people with the names, they'll ask you for address information to confirm who you are. Okay. If you give them your patient number, then it only brings up one record because the patient number is the primary key and it's unique. Okay. Can't remember whether I took a picture of that before, so I'll take it again. Okay, then if I wanted to have information about the contact, which I have not done, but if I wanted to have information about the contact, I can pull it out and have a contact number, a contact ID, and a contact name, and a contact phone number, and keep the contact ID with the person. Contact person, this is the contact ID. So if I wanted information about that, I could pull it out and do that. And I don't think I used any of my examples. I don't think I have the contact, but that's another possibility. And then I would end up with four tables. Okay, so now we are going to attempt to open the next one. Okay. This is the relationships that you can have. So one to one is one record on each table. Where you use one to one, one of the places that it's used frequently is employee information. That you have employee information that is basically public information, and you have employee information that's private. And so you decide to keep the employee's name and address and things like that on one table, and their pay and evaluation or something like that on another table, because that's considered more private. Okay. One to many we looked at with the donor and the donations. And many to many is, I'm going to actually bring up the example before we talk about that. So this is a one-to-many relationship. Did I skip one? Yeah, that's the one-to-one. So the one-to-one, and maybe I should have taken a picture there, so just bear with me. Okay, this is the one-to-one that I was talking about, where I've got the employee name, address, department, and that sort of thing, and then I've got their pay, their taxes, and all that over on another table. So I've got different pieces of information on two tables, and it's a one-to-one relationship. And that's the main place that I have seen the one-to-one, because one-to-one means probably that you really could have carried it all on one table, but more security issues than anything else. Okay, one-to-many is the donor versus donation. So one donor can donate multiple donations. Okay. So the key here is made up of multiple records, okay? And not knowing what I'm not even gonna guess. I'm guessing that 100 is the drive number. Yeah, okay, that 100 is the drive number. And that this is the date. 05-12-02 is the date. Okay. And I did a one-to-many relationship with an inventory so that I have a vendor number and I can also go out gets the vendor information from the vendor table. Okay, so the vendor number will appear only once on the vendor table, but the vendor number can appear multiple times in the vendor table because it can be the vendor for multiple products. Okay, this is the one that I like for many to many. A movie can have many stars, and a star can have many movies. Okay, so that means that I can't carry the star names on the movie table because that's repeating groups. Okay, and I don't know how many stars there are going to be in a given movie. And I can't carry the movie over on the star table because the star presumably is a star because they've been in multiple tables, multiple movies rather. So I can't carry it that way. So what is usually done is a bridge table is made to bridge between these two. And the bridge table will have the movie number and the star number as the primary key. So the primary key is made up of both the movie and the star. Then the data that's carried on that table has to relate to both the movie and the star, and what they're getting paid does, because they're getting paid a different salary for a particular movie. So a star in a particular movie is getting a certain salary. And so the pay that they're getting is based on which movie it is and who they are. And then that will tell the salary that they got. Okay. So that's a many-to-many relationship. And that happens when I can't carry the link on the same table. I can't carry the star information over here because there are many stars. I can't carry the movie information over here because there are many movies. And so I have a bridge between them that relates that information. Okay, then I came up with one that has some information about a student. So I've got the student ID, the name, the address, the phone, social security, that's a candidate key. Then I have their major code. And if I want to know information about the major, I can link the major code to a major table. And the major table will contain the name of the major, the chair of the department, whatever else information you want to carry. But the link is, I can link this major code to this primary key, so that becomes a foreign key, because I can link it to the primary key on another table. Okay? And then for courses, I want to keep track of the courses the students take, which is what I mentioned before. So I need to have the student ID number, so I know which student took the course. I need to have the course code, okay, that will tell what course they took. And I need the semester that they took it. Because otherwise, if you flunk a course, you might as well find another college, because we're not going to let you take the course again. Okay? So I have to have the semester the course was taken, so that I can have the same student takes the same course but a different semester. And the thing that relates to all three of these is the grade. The grade is for a particular student taking a particular course for a particular semester. So the grade relates to all three. And again, I've got a three-part primary key there. Then I have a course table, and the course table, okay, has got a course code, a course name, and the number of credits. Okay, so I can link from the course code down here if I need to get the name and the number of credits. Okay, so I have a student table that we saw on the previous slide. I have a department table, a major table, I guess I called it, a major table that we saw on the last slide. And I now have the student course table and a course table. Okay? So I have all of those tables and they all link together. Okay, so when I'm dealing with the data, I can access any one of these tables. And I can access information from multiple tables. So you'll always have to make sure that there is a link to get to the other table. You know, if I had not put course code, if I just set up a table and said course name, number of credits, I can't get into it. Okay, because I don't have anything to link. Course code needs to be down here as well so that I can link to it. And there's no reason on the student table to be able to link to the course table, because if I've got a particular student, there's no reason to link to the course table unless I know whether they took that course. So from the student table, I would link to the student course table to find out if they took that course, and then link to the course table to get the name of the course. Questions? Okay, that's the 45-minute version of how relational database works, okay? As I said, it's an interesting topic and one worth taking a course in at some point. And that's the end of that one, okay. Okay, so now we're going to start looking at relating tables. It's a wonderful thing, this SMART board. See that box there? I can only move it if I right-click and get Move, and then I can move it. But I can't just move that box anywhere in the newest version of SmartBoard, which is incredibly annoying. Okay, so I now have the donor table, and I've got the donor table set up. I have made the donor the primary key. And when you see the not null down here, that's a good clue that it's the primary key. because primary keys can't be null. Okay? So we will see later that there are ways that I can also make other fields not be able to be null, that I can force people to put data in other fields. But on the whole, it's a good clue that I've set up a primary key. If you do the description and you see a not null next to a field, especially a field like an ID number, it pretty much means that it's a primary key. Then on the donation table, I did not put in apparently a primary key on this particular one, but I'm going to, we'll get to it. We haven't really covered how to put in a primary key, so I hadn't put it in. That one apparently I did. So I have an ID number, drive number, contribution date, contribution amount. So those are the fields that we just talked about that I needed on the donation table. And then on the drive table, I've got the drive number, drive name, and the other information about the drive. Okay, so I've set those up, and I've got those three tables now that are similar to the design we just looked at. Okay, so now we come down here. And if you need to connect multiple tables, what you do is the from clause has to list both the tables. Okay, so I've got from, donation, and drive, if that's what I want to do. So I'm listing both tables in the from clause. Then up in the select clause, I need to any field that appears on both tables. I've got to tell it which table I want it to look at for. So drive number, I put donation. I could have put drive. It doesn't matter because I'm linking them based on drive number. But I have to let it know which table it should look at because it doesn't know. Drive number is on both tables. Okay? Now, some people prefer to have drive number and call it drive NO on the donor table or the donation table and drive NUM or something in the drive table. And I made a mistake later on and did that and left it just so people could see, but it would drive me crazy to do that. I need them to have the same name on both tables so I know they're the same data. So, in this case, I'm saying look at the drive number that appears on the donation table. For the fields that only appear on one of the tables, I don't need to put the table name. I can, but I don't need to. I only need to put the table name when it appears on multiple tables. So, then I have to do the link, how these link. And I'm saying where the drive number on the donation table equals the drive number on the drive table. So I'm establishing the link there between the two. Okay. And so it goes in, gets the information that I asked for based on that linking. If you leave out the where clause, then it will make every possible combination. And so you will see the drive number and ID, each ID will be linked to every drive number. So each ID will be linked to every single drive number and it will make every possible combination, okay? So that where clause to tell it how you want to link is critical. Okay, or you basically get garbage. Okay, and so you can see I did it. I got four records. And then down below, I did it without the where clause. And you can see that I got all of the possible combinations. Okay? So I've got all the combinations. And on this one, just to show, I put the drive number from the donation table and the drive number from the drive table. So that this one is from the donation table, the second one is from the drive table, just so that you can see what it was doing. Okay, so on the first one for Prism 1111, I've got the drives of both 100. And then on the next one it's 100, 200, and the next one is 100, 300. So you can see all of the combinations. It makes all of the combinations. Okay. When joining tables, you can make up aliases so that instead of having to refer to the entire table by name, you can use the alias. Okay, so I said on the from clause, I am telling it the donation will be referred to as DO and drive will be referred to as DR. And so I can then use the DO and the DR if you happen to have long table names. Okay. So that just gives you the shortcut of using those if you want to do it. Questions? You really can't ask questions when I don't say questions. But every once in a while I think and say it. Okay, so down here I've got one where I'm asking a second question. So in other words, the where clause is used to make the connection, but that doesn't mean it can't be used the ordinary way that I use it. And that is to eliminate certain records or get only certain records or something. So I can do as much as complex a one as I want. Now, we will look at an alternate way to do this, which is with a join. And we'll look at that not today, but another, probably Thursday. How to do it with the join, and then you don't use the where clause to make the link, you use a join to make the link. I like this way better. Probably it's because this is the way I learned, because I learned it before they had the join thing going much. But you can decide which one you like, and then you can use the one you like, but you should also recognize both of them. In the next one, I'm joining three tables. So I've got the donor, where the donor ID equals the donation ID, and the donation drive number equals the drive number. Okay. So I've got the donor table. Wait a minute. I did the thing that is supposed to make that not happen. So there's the donor table, there's the donation table, there's the drive table. And so the donor has an ID number that links up. Okay. ID number that links over to the ID number on the donation table, and the donation table has a drive number that links over to the drive number over here. So these are my links. Okay. caps on saying that I want the donor ID to be equal to the donation ID and the donation drive number to be equal to the drive number. Okay, so I'm linking them together. In the from clause, I have to list all three tables that I want to use. And when I talk about either the ID number or the drive number up in the select, I've got to identify the table that I'm looking at. And again, it would work if I put donation ID and drive number. It would work either way. Because when you get to the where clause, I'm saying I want them to be equal. So since I want them to be equal, it doesn't matter which one I put up in the select statement, because I'm saying only show it when they're equal. Questions? Yeah.
The element name there, is it basically a default that it's going to look for that with donor table because it followed that, or
did it? It will just figure it out, but the thing is, it can't get confused because it only appears once. Whereas ID number appears twice. And so then it goes through the, excuse me, which one are we talking about here?
Okay. But we could have similarly, if we needed it, then taken some other element like from the donation table, if it was unique to the donation table.
That's right.
Table. Okay.
Yeah, no, like drive name came from the drive name table.
Yep.
Okay, so what if we look at this, this came from the donor table. This came from the drive table, and this came from the donation table. So I've got a piece of data from all three tables there,
yes.
Along with the linking fields that I want to show. Now, I didn't have to have the linking fields, and there's nothing that says I have to put the linking fields up there, but it's just information I want. You could have written donor.name, drive.driving, donation.condomount. And I don't know if that speeds things up or not. But you could put the table name dot field name. And it will still work just fine. Okay, what did I just do? I think I'll get rid of that anyway. Okay, so they get into now three kinds of joins that they're going to, we're talking about. An equi-join is the kind that has been listed so far in this handout. It can also be called simple joins or inner joins. But we were looking for this equal to that, so it's an equi-join. A non-equi-join is an equi-join that means it's not a direct join between two tables. And an example of it is where I say where the grade level is between the lower grade and the higher grade. Okay, so what I've got there is I've got two tables, a grade and a school. And on the grade table, I have the grade level. And on the school table, I would have a field called low grade. So if it is a high school, low grade is 9, and high grade is going to be 12. Or if it's a three-year high school, it's going to be 10 and 12, okay? So the grade level came in here, and this tells the grade for the particular record. I'm looking for it between this. So I might have a high school, let's say I've got elementary as one of my schools, and that goes 1 and 6. And then I've got junior, and that goes 7 and 8, and then I've got high, and that goes 9 and 12, And so if I'm looking for, if the grade level over here comes in as 7, then I go over and say I'm looking for a match where it's between, so 7 is Queen Lee Junior High. If it came in as 11, then I come over here and say, okay, that's high. And so I'm filling that out. So I'm not looking for exact equality, I'm looking for a match between two things. And then I come down here, and I keep forgetting that they keep the ink. And I've got an outer join. An outer join is this. And rather than read the example, this is an outer join. So on the outer join, I have the plus equals. Okay, the code below illustrates the outer join. There is now a drive 400, but there are no contributions to the drive. Let me get it so we can actually read that. There are no contributions to the drive, therefore the donation side is missing the data while the drive side has the data. In setting the test with the plus, okay, I am seeing the drive. So by saying this, I am saying it's okay that there are no contributions to the 400. I still want to see it. Okay. Up above, I inserted the 400 in, and I still did the select. And I've now got the 400 in there, but there are no contributions that go with it. Okay, so I am putting it in, and by putting the plus over here, it allows me to see that. When I don't have the plus, I'm not seeing the 400, because it's only showing me the stuff that match. Okay, so I don't see the 400 because it doesn't have a match. Okay. So the donation is missing the data. So I put the plus on the side that is missing the data, and the data shows up. And I don't put the plus there. I don't see the thing that doesn't have a match. Okay, so if I want to be sure that I'm seeing everything from the drive table, then that's the way I can put it.
How often do you use that? Marginally. Okay, and the last one is the self-join. Okay, guys. I don't deal with competition well. A self-join is used to join a table to itself. For example, let's say you have an inventory pile that contains jackets and skirts that can be sold separately or together as a suit. You'll carry the coordinate in a field called pair set. So, I have the jacket and the pair set is the 333 skirt, okay? And this jacket goes with the 555 one. So I'm comparing and I've got a join that I'm doing on myself, okay? So I am calling this in the from clause, I'm using the inventory table twice. And I'm giving the first one an alias of first, and I'm giving the second one an alias of second. Okay? And so I am seeing where the first item number, okay, equals the second pair set. So when the first item number equals the pair set. So that will bring up and show the item number from the first, the item name from the first, and the item name second. And I am doing that comparison. So if you want to compare back against yourself, you can actually do a comparison like this between two tables. Questions. Okay. I honestly think we've gone far enough today. So we're going to call it quits. Because the next thing is it's going to take more than the time we have left. And I really think we've covered enough. So we're done. Yes.
A question on normalization.
Question on what?
The normalization.
Yes.
The forms, is it just the first form is no keys, the primary keys, the second form is, I don't understand that.
Okay. There they are. The first normal form does not have repeating groups. Okay, so first normal form means you've gotten rid of all your repeating groups. Okay, so if you have set things up so there won't be any competing groups, it's in first normal form. Second normal form means that you've already done the first normal form, and no non-key attribute is dependent on only a portion of the primary key. So when I had a primary key for donation that had three parts, donation had the ID number, the drive number, and the date. I couldn't have something that was only linked to the drive number. So I couldn't have the drive name on that table because the drive name linked only to the drive number. So everything on the table has to link successfully to all three parts of the key, or all two parts of the key, or all four parts of the key. Okay? So that's why I said when we were doing the movie and the star one, that the thing I could put on there was salary. Because salary was how much that star made for that movie. But I couldn't put on anything that just related to the movie or just related to the person. I had to put things that related to both. Okay. And then third normal form, the only determinants it contains are candidate keys. So Social Security number could be on there, but other things can't. And I can't carry a field like department number and department name. Okay, if department number is just a field, it's not a key. It's not a key, it's just a field. I can't carry department name here because department name is a determinant. So I can't carry department name there because it's a determinant. It is related to department number. It is not related to whatever my primary key was. Let's say this was a student table or a employee table, then department name doesn't relate. It relates to department number, not to the employee number. Okay. Does that help at all?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.